We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
At 15 seconds, guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. We have a liftoff.
Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Come on. Hearing stories of life change never gets old, being together, singing about King Jesus and encouraging one another. It's just awesome. So glad to be with you today, those of you watching online. And we are finishing up our series on liftoff as we've been going through the book of Acts, chapters 1 through 4. And next week, we're going to start a new series called Growing Pains as we kick up into Acts chapter 5, which is going to be awesome as we go through the book of Acts together. Today, as we close out this series, we're going to shake it up a little bit. And that's going to be the theme called Shake It Up. But before we get going on there, speaking of shaking it up, I just wanted to address something. The reason why we titled this series Liftoff and the reason why we have space as the background is because we knew ahead of some of the things that were going to be unfolded in our society. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news or it's on social media or wherever about some of the secret meetings that have been taking place and some religious leaders. And I was, I don't know if it was privileged or not, but I was tapped on the shoulder to be briefed by the Pentagon officials at the White House about all this alien extraterrestrial stuff. I know it's kind of, but so here's a picture of me in the White House with President Trump. Why are you guys laughing? Why are you guys laughing about it? Fine, I'll give you another picture. Here's me and Pastor Barry and I and President Trump, and this is Rexy, and a really good guy. I'm not going to lie. He's a really good guy. Can you imagine? For those of you that haven't caught on, this is a joke. I just want to make sure there's no rumors going around. This is a joke. Wow, talk about shaking things up. But the reason why, now it is interesting, people have been asking me more often than ever in my life before, Pastor Travis, what do you think about aliens? What's up with the aliens? What do you think about the aliens? My initial response is, you know, we didn't really go over that in seminary. I got to be honest with you. There wasn't like a class on UFOs and aliens. But just because this is kind of all over the place and some of you are, you know, maybe wondering more about it. I know some of you get more serious about others. You just think it's a joke. Let me just give you just a few things just to help us address this as Christians, okay? Number one, never jump to conclusions, okay? It's okay to be curious about it and wonder, man, what if that? Talk about the theology of that, how that would work. But be careful not to get caught up into conspiracy theories that are on the internet, okay? Just be cautious of that. Number two, there still is no actual real evidence of extraterrestrial beings. It hasn't been laid out before us. We haven't seen that yet. Number three, UFO sightings and all these little drones or things that are happening all over the place that you see on the internet. Just because there are these UFO sightings, these are unidentified objects. Those don't mean that they're aliens in there. And those could also be technological advances from spies or other countries. You never know. Number four, if there are aliens, if Rexy shows up, okay, here's the deal. If that were to happen, those could be demons in disguise. Because here's what we do know is true. Angels are real. Why do we know that? Fallen angels are real. Why do we know that? Right here. Demons are real. Spiritual warfare is real. And so could the enemy in his spiritual warfare use aliens as a disguise at some point to distract and to destroy? He could. Number five, Scripture says humanity was made for a little while, notice little while, lower than the angels. But yet we have to remind ourselves that we were, as humans, uniquely designed and created in the image of God, which is pretty incredible, okay? That we were all created, man and women, in the image of God. And through Christ, as we are redeemed in Christ, Scripture even says that one day we will judge the angels. So therefore, as Christians, you got nothing to fear. No matter what may exist or not exist out there in space or whatever, we have nothing to fear. And number six, there was an incredible invasion, not an alien invasion, an unbelievable invasion that is the greatest invasion of our earth of all time. And that is when God sent his one and only son, Jesus, here to literally destroy sin and to literally pay the penalty for sin and rose from the dead, proving he is God. Amen? So there's nothing to fear. So we lean into that, okay? But today, as we finish up this chapter, we are going to see, this is a great chapter, how the church was shaken. And if you have the verse of the day on your Bible app and stuff, today the text lines up with the verse of the day on your YouVersion Bible app. When the church was shaken, we're literally going to see how the church shook as they gathered together, rejoicing the release of Peter and John from prison. We're going to see how the Holy Spirit was shaking up their prayers, was shaking up their sharing, giving their testimonies, and shaking up their giving. And my hope and prayer for today is that in the same way that Holy Spirit that they had access to, as a reminder, is the same Holy Spirit that we have access to, and that we too would be shaken up, if you will. In fact, I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, shake it up. Not literally, I see some of you literally. Not literally, just verbally, okay? Shake it up, all right? Okay, so let's pray. We're going to dive into this text, and let's just ask the Lord to do what only he can do. But also, as we come together on this Memorial Weekend, let's just spend a few moments just praying specifically, thanking God for our freedom. And man, what a gift, right, that we can come in this building in freedom. I just saw online just another church in Ukraine that was blown up. You never know when any of that stuff could happen to us. But right now, today, it's like we get to come here freely and worship King Jesus. And so let's just thank God for the people that have died for us so that we can have these freedoms that we can so easily take it for granted. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the freedoms you've given us. We think of so many who have given their lives so that we could have this freedom. And we just give you praise for them. We even think about this year, the lives that have been lost fighting for our country. And we think of all of the family members right now where this holiday weekend is a little bit different for them, hits differently. And so as they grieve, we think of spouses, we think of children, we think of parents and grandparents that grieve the loss of their loved one. I just ask in the name of Jesus right now, God, that you would send your unbelievable peace and comfort over them. I pray that many of them know you, but if they don't, that this loss will drive them to you in a way like only you can do. So Holy Spirit, move in their lives right now. We pray this in your name. And so Father, as we open up your word, we ask that you would do it again. Shake us up. Shake us up, oh God, and only the way that you can and the way that you want to, shake us up. Father, please, as always, get me out of the way. Shake me up. And I just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so grab your Bible. Come on, open it up. Grab a pen, grab a journal, mark it up, right? So it'll mark up your life. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 4. We'll be in verse 23, and we'll close out this chapter, verse 23. So the book of Acts, so kind of just to set this up again, we are literally in the culmination here of an event that we've been going over the last few weeks, where literally we saw and read about how Peter and John were walking to the temple to pray, and as they walked past the beautiful gate, they came across this crippled man from birth and looked at him and said, "In the name of Jesus, get up." And he literally gets up and begins to walk. And it just creates a spectacle because here's a guy that a lot of people knew who he was because he was there. I mean, he's 40 years old. People know this guy. And they can't believe this physical miracle that happened right before their eyes. And so people want to know more. And so Peter and John, they're not going to waste this opportunity. And so they take this physical miracle and they talk about and relate it to how a spiritual miracle needs and can happen in people's lives. And so people were hearing the truth of Jesus and the power of Jesus. And there was this crowd that was swarming and just excitement. And people were just in awe of what was going on. There was revival. People were adding to their number daily in the church. And the religious leaders at the time, specifically the Sadducees, were getting sick of this and wanted to kind of quiet them down and didn't want the other government, the Roman government, to get upset. And so they literally arrest Peter and John to get them to shut up. And so they arrest them, and then they put them on trial, and then the Holy Spirit gave words to Peter unbelievably with bold and courage to kind of literally throw it back on them. They were tongue-tied, and so they basically threatened them again but didn't know what to do with them because they didn't want a riot to start even more, and then they released them. And this is where the story picks up today, Acts chapter 4 and verse 23, and here's what it says. When they were released... And man, what a moment that must have been for them. What a moment of relief, right? Just a big exhale. They didn't know. They could have been there for the rest of their lives. I mean, they just saw Jesus go through this, right? They could have been beaten. They could have been flogged. They could have been crucified. They didn't know. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they were released. And it says that they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, it says that they lifted their voices together to God. And so what do we see? The first thing that we see is they get excited and they go and tell their friends, look, we've been released and you're not going to believe what happened. And then notice what it says, that they lifted their voices together to God. They began to pray to God with one another as the church. And so the first thing that we see is we're taking notes. We need to shake up our praying. We've got to shake up our praying. Turn to the person next to you and say, shake up our praying. Come on. What we see is we're reminded the importance of praying in the mountaintops. Sometimes, right, it's really easy for us, right? We go to God in the storms, we go to God in the struggles, we go to God with our needs. It's important when we can, and we do. But after he provides, and after there's a win, and after there's a victory, we need to make sure that we pause and take moments to give God praise for what he's doing, to give God praise for what he's done, and give him glory for what he's been doing. Then also notice it says that they lifted up their voices together, meaning that they were all coming together as the church and they were praying out loud together and encouraging one another as the body of Christ, and the importance of coming together as we do in church on Sundays and when we do in our groups and when we do on our first Wednesdays, when we come together and we lift up our prayers for one another, the encouragement that that does. Now, one of the things when you hear this, for some of you in the room, when you hear the idea of lifting up your voices out loud in prayer, that might freak you out. You might say, I would never pray out loud. And if that's you, you're in good company, because that's how I used to feel for a couple of reasons. One, I didn't feel smart enough, which, reminder, God just wants you to be real. He doesn't want you to put on a show. He just wants you to be real. So if you have any performance anxiety, lay it at the feet of Jesus. The other thing is maybe the way that you're wired, you're a little more shy, or you have a little anxiety, or maybe you're like me and you have had a stuttering problem through your years, so you don't want to talk in public. And so I remember for years I'd be afraid I'd want to pray, but I couldn't because I was afraid I'd stutter and then I'd, you know, get caught, and then it was just like, I'll just let someone else pray. I'll just pray inside. So one of the things that helped me is my private prayers, I would start to pray more out loud instead of just mentally. Here's the thing. Your public prayer life is only as good as your private prayer life. Let me say that again. Your public prayer life is only as good as your private prayer life. And also for me, the more that I would just pray mentally, mental prayers are fine, right? But if you're like me, if I just pray mental in my head all the time and I don't speak it out loud, I fall asleep. Anyone with me? Any snoozy prayers, right? I mean, come on, it's like it's easy to just fall asleep. But when I'm praying out loud, it helps me to stay awake, okay? And so the more and more that I built that spiritual muscle of prayer, the more confident I was to pray out loud. The encouragement of praying. Now, here's the other thing. When we're in public gatherings like this, it can be really easy when I pray or Pastor Barry prays, or when you're in one of our prayer meetings or wherever, it can be easy to kind of like get distracted and zone out. It's just you're not even paying attention to what the person's praying. So I know this is simple, but a little trick through the years is as someone's praying, I'm in my mind repeating what they said. And then sometimes, because I'm repeating what they're saying, then I'll out loud, to be engaged, I'll agree with them. So, you know, someone says something, you know, thank you, God, for being the creator of whatever, whatever. I'm like, amen. And I'll say that out loud, or praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I'll just agree with that out loud. That's the difference between sometimes a bad prayer meeting and a good prayer meeting. Because a good prayer meeting is when the people are like in it and we're like just zoned in to what people are praying, and then we agree out loud together, and it helps make it exciting and engaged. Amen? Amen. Okay? So now notice what it says next. It says, and they said, as they're praying, here's what they prayed. Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, notice this, why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? And I love this. And if you're taking notes in your Bible, write Psalm 2. Write Psalm 2. Because here's what they're doing right now. They're praying scripture, but not only are they praying scripture, at this moment, they were realizing that this was a fulfillment of scripture. Because as you read this Psalm 2 later today, I don't have time to go through it. Psalm 2 talks about how the Son, God the Son, would literally be plotted against from the governing rulers at that time. And so now they're praying this scripture. God brought it to their mind and they're praying scripture. And we've talked about this a lot as a church, the importance of having more scripture-fed, spirit-led prayers. Instead of just based on our feeling, we allow the word of God to guide our prayers. It's so important for us to keep doing that as a church family. So, in fact, I just thought we'd just shake it up right now in our service. And I thought we'd just pray out loud together. Don't worry, I'm not going to call you out. But let's just do that together for a moment, okay? So based on this text, it says, Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And so it just makes me pause when I read this to say, I just want to give God praise for being the creator. And he's created everything in them, so he's the creator of all. So think of all the things, the big things, the medium-sized things, the little things that God has created. And I'm just going to say, God, we thank you for being the creator of. And then after I say of, I want all of us with boldness, what's one thing that you want to give God praise for? Okay? Everyone, every single one of us in the room, all together, we're going to say that thing. So think about what's something that you want to give God praise for. Okay? So God, we give you praise for being the creator of relationships. Okay. Now, I don't know what you heard. You heard what you said? Did you hear what someone else said? Okay, so now, in agreement, I'm going to say it again, and I want us to just literally, literally talk to God and maybe say something different that you heard someone else say. And so, God, we thank you for being the creator of, I think I heard coffee. That's a good one. I like that. Thank you, Jesus, for the coffee. Amen? It's good. It's important for us to say our prayers out loud and let people hear them and then agree with them. It's an important muscle as we keep building that in the muscle of our church. It continues, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. If you didn't know, God's got the whole thing rigged. He's got this whole thing rigged. He's got it all figured out. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. You notice what they're doing right there? They're literally praying for more trouble. Seriously. They're just like, bring it on, in a sense. They're welcoming it. Right now in this moment, give us your boldness to keep sharing even though they were threatened if they kept doing it. And then it says this, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Just one little thing. This is an important tension that all of us as Jesus followers have to deal with. Notice that they did not say, let me heal someone. May you let my hand stretch out. It was no, let your hand stretch out the way that you're going to heal while you stretch out your hand to heal. And so it can be easy for us as Christians to long to be used by God and to do miraculous things and to fall into the trap of wanting to be recognized. Oh, look at what God's doing through me. Look at how close I am to God. Look at what he's doing through me. This is a tension we have to manage. Because it's pretty cool to be used by God, isn't it? I mean, God wants to use us, so we don't run from that. But we have to manage the tension that we don't become arrogant spiritually or prideful spiritually of, look at me. And so instead of our prayers being like, I want to be known, how can God use me? Instead we say, no, I would rather you be known, and you use me, oh God, however you see fit. That's a tension we got to keep managing as brothers and sisters. Okay. Now watch this in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. Can you imagine? We don't know if it was an earthquake. We don't know exactly what it was, but it says that it was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with what? That's right. Not with timidity, but with boldness. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony, with great power, their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great power and great grace. And so the second thing we see, we got to shake up our sharing. The word boldness here means to tell it all, to not hold back, to not hide our spiritual lives, but to let people know. I've been telling some stories a few weeks back. I was in Japan, konnichiwa, to our Hikari City, who's in the room with us today. And one of the things, and this isn't me trying to brag, but when I was there, I was sharing the gospel like all the time. I was excited. I was jacked up. I mean, I'm just like, anyone who's sitting by me in the train, I'm like, well, I don't know, but I got nothing to lose. I'm never going to see this person again. And God may have put me next to this person for a reason, so I need to make sure that I speak up. And if they listen, cool. Plus, I got a translator, Maki, and, you know, I'm putting him on the spot, which was fun. And, you know, it was just a fun time, you know? And it's just so many stories. But when I came back from Japan, I got to tell you, I was having some evangelism withdrawals. I was. Because literally every day I was sharing the gospel. And then I come home, and yeah, I mean, I can share the gospel right here. I will today on the stage. But there's a difference as preachers, stage evangelism versus street evangelism. This is easy because most of the time you don't talk back, right? Most of the time. But, you know, when you're actually engaging in your sphere of influence, in your neighborhoods, in your where you normally go, in your rhythms of life, you know, none of us, maybe some, but none of us want to be known as like fanatics, right? Maybe some of you do. I don't know. But most of us, we don't want to be like crazy sharing, like crazy in our sharing. And so, yeah, none of us want to be crazy, right? Like, oh, here comes that neighbor, run. You know, we don't want to be that, right? But then what happens if you're like me is then we become too cautious in our sharing. And then we become paralyzed in our sharing and we don't share at all. Because we don't want to be so crazy that we get so cautious. And this is the spot where we've got to be, right here. And maybe a little more over on this side. Listen, if you have been in your neighborhood for 10 years and your neighbors don't know that you know Jesus, that's a problem. You're being too cautious. I say that in all love, but you're being too cautious. If you've been in your same workplace and cubicle or wherever you're at, and the people around you, you've been around there for 5 or 6 years, if you've been there 3 years and they don't know that you know Jesus, that's a problem. We got to shake up our sharing, guys. We got to be bold. We got to be more bold in it. We can't be selfish. I'm so selfish sometimes when it comes to my evangelism, and I hate that about myself. We can't be selfish. And just, I've said this many times, but just as a repeat, you just focus on two questions. If you've never heard this, take this down. First question that you ask is just simply, what do you think? I mean, all this alien talk, right? I mean, what do you think happens at the end of the world? And ask them. And then just listen. Find common ground. Admire what they're saying. Actually listen and show them that you care. Sometimes people think, well, I don't want to share the gospel because I might not have all the answers. And guess what? No one likes to know it all. Anyways, so when you act humble and vulnerable, like, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. They'll actually want to talk to you more instead of you thinking like you got all the answers, okay? So you ask them what they think. If they share, awesome. Then after they're done sharing, here's your second question. And this might take 3 or 4 different conversations. I don't know. But here's the second question. Can I share with you what I've discovered and how God's changed my life? They're either going to say yes or no. If they say yes, tell them. If they say no, it's not God's time. But at least you attempted. And one day when we get to the pearly gates, and I don't know if this would actually happen, but can you imagine your neighbors or someone that was with you for so long, they'd be like, you knew all this time and you didn't say anything? You knew all this time about this and you never told me? Something even just very simple. Last week we started to put out our yard signs, and we do this, it's not just for advertisement's sake. It's for conversations to start having, because we're all, thank God, coming out of our hibernation, right? And we're all like walking around our neighborhoods finally. And I have hundreds of stories through the years of how these signs have moved in people's lives. Let me give you one. One of our young adults was doing some landscaping. His name's Brendan. And one of our church members had this sign in their yard. And he stopped and he asked them, what's up with the sign? And they shared a little bit about their faith journey and invited this young man to church. Brendan shows up to church. Brendan gives his life to Jesus. Brendan gets baptized. Brendan starts bringing his mom and dad to church. At his baptism service today, I just met his grandma, Sharon, right? Sharon, where are you at? Right here. Sharon and Frank, right? These two right there now are serving here at Miles City Church, rededicated their lives to Jesus because of their grandson. His family's coming to church. Other family members are getting saved. And I just met with him last week for coffee, and he said, you know, I'm really feeling called to tell people about Jesus, and he signed up for seminary. All because God, I mean, in many other ways, used a sign. So get your sign out. God, help us to not be selfish in our sharing. Oh, God, help me not to be selfish in my sharing. Use us, oh, God, however you want to use us. Shake up our sharing. Amen? Amen. Okay, verse 34. 3 minutes. Wow, here we go. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. And they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So here's the last thing. We got to shake up our giving. What we see here is that people mattered more than possessions. Remember, these were pilgrims that came all throughout to Jerusalem, and then they were caught up by the power of the Holy Spirit. So these people had needs. And so as the Holy Spirit prompted people, prompted believers, people were literally selling things, selling property to help the needs that were right in front of their face. They wanted to be a part of the movement of God. And so we know the importance of giving. We've taught on this many times as a church, the importance of the biblical tithe, the 10%, and then giving above and beyond. If you question that, you can go to our series called Counting Pennies, and we dissect the whole thing. Malachi 3:10, there's just an example. You can take notes there. We're to bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. This is the only time in Scripture where God says, test me with your finances. This is the only time that he says this. Then in 2 Corinthians, reminds us of that we give above and beyond with our offerings, and we don't do it with reluctant hearts. We keep being led by the power of the Spirit, and we have cheerful hearts. But then what happened is that the local church started to abuse it. And so Paul later addresses how these funds are to be met and how you're supposed to meet these specific needs. And so this is just some of the big ideas. These aren't the verses. These are the big ideas. Basically, Paul says, hey, if you can work, then work. This isn't like a freeloading situation where you come to the church and you just get a hand-me-out, okay? This isn't some like socialist-like situation. If you can work, then work. Then it says in this idea in 1 Timothy, be discerning about who and where the true needs are. So you got to be discerning in that. Next, if a family can support someone before the church has to step in, that should happen as well. And then moral conduct and genuine need should be considered before ongoing support is given. Okay, so just some of the things and the principles that Scripture gives us. But here's the deal, and you know that you're like, this is about meeting specific needs, not funding luxuries. And I know through the years or your examples or things that you've seen or watched or read about, you've seen many leaders and churches take advantage of this. And it's important to go to a church that you trust. And if you don't trust it, then find a church that you trust. That will show you the reports of where the money goes and how it's run and all that stuff. We do our best to do that here to show you what we do and to steward that well with our finance team and our elder team. Here's what I just want to say. Don't allow past churches or corrupt leaders rob you of generosity and rob you and yourself of the favor and the joy and the blessing that comes when you give to the local church. I am living proof of the joy and the blessing that comes when I give 10 and above to the local church. I've been doing it my whole life as long as I was able to start tithing. It is a gift. And God rewards those who do not rob from him. Which, by the way, our church is doing awesome. I'm so thankful for such a recklessly generous church. So many of you tithe and then you give above and beyond. If you're new to our church, one of the things we do, and people get excited about it now, is every November we have our extra mile where we talk about specific initiatives that we're going to do in terms of expansion and multiplication, and it's fun. And we get these projects that God puts before us. This past year was all about church planting. It was our 10th year anniversary, and we're like, man, we're just going to give it all away. And so our goal was to raise $322,000, and up to this point, we have pledged and given $286,881 towards church planting. That's already making an impact. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Just about 35,000 short of that goal, but it's just amazing. Like, and we're already seeing the impact globally. We've been reporting, you'll see those on Sundays, the national church plants and the local church plants, and it's just, we got so many things in the works. It's just exciting to see. And we get to be a part of multiplying God's kingdom. Now, another thing that I wanted to share, and I normally don't do this, but I just got to be real with you. I was studying this text. And as I was studying this text and I was doing a deeper dive on this section of the scripture about people selling their property, earlier that morning, I felt like a realtor because I was on the phone with neighbors of neighboring properties of our South Lyon campus. And here's why. And let me just show you this, okay? This is our South Lyon church right here. This is a little drawing of expansion that when we first bought this, we knew that it wasn't going to be big enough. This whole church is as big as our kids' city upstairs. The auditorium seats about 190 people, and right now at two services, it's becoming 80 to 90% full. And we know statistically if the parking lot or the auditorium is 80 to 90% full, new guests and people that are seeking won't come back. It's too crowded. I don't know where I'm going to sit. And there's no room for me, I'm out. And it's a massive statistic that has been proven. I've seen it, I've witnessed it over and over and over again. And so after we go to a third service here, maybe in the fall, Lord willing, we're at a situation where we're stuck because engineering firms have showed us that unless we get some more land, because right here this is a parking lot, right now this is an actual pond, it's our retention pond. So we need some more property. I'm trying to talk to neighbors to see about if we can move our retention pond over here so that we can know if we can have a future here. If not, that means that if we can't get more property, then we'll have to go somewhere else. All that being said, and I normally don't do this, but I just felt that the Spirit told me to be bold today to say that maybe there's someone or a few of you in the room or some of you watching online where maybe you have a property or an investment that God wants you to sell so that we can secure some property here to keep expanding to help people move towards God. And I'm just going to leave it right there. I don't know. I just felt like I was supposed to say that, okay? So what have we learned today? We got to shake it up. We got to shake up our praying. We got to shake up our sharing. And we got to shake up our giving, okay? Now, I want to be clear. Pastor Barry and I, it would be really easy and to stand up in here and try to manipulate or guilt you into doing these things. Be easy for us to do. We know how to do that. But we don't want to do that because that's not what this text is about. It's about how the power of the Holy Spirit will move in our lives. Of course, as leaders of the church, do we want you to pray more?
Yeah.
Do we want you to share the gospel more with your friends and neighbors? Yeah. Do we want you to give and trust God with your finances? Absolutely, because we want that blessing for your life. Absolutely. But the goal is never to, this isn't about guilting or manipulating or persuading. Like, we could be like, you guys need to pray more. Shake it up. You guys need to start sharing. Like, how dare you? You guys aren't being bold enough. Shake it up. You guys need to start giving more. Shake it up. We could do that. But to us, that'd be pointless. Because we want the Spirit of the living God that's in you to move in your life. Because here's the deal. When we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, then automatically we are driven by His Spirit to respond when He says, move. And sometimes we can be disobedient, but He'll keep knocking on our hearts until we move. Trust me. He's done it with me over and over and over again. You better move. You better move. And so I don't know what the Holy Spirit is telling you, but be obedient. Respond. Where do you need to shake it up in your prayer life or your evangelism or your giving? Just ask the power of the Holy Spirit to show you and make it clear. For some of you, maybe it's not shaking up those things. Maybe it's just shaking up the idea of believing in the first place because you've never received the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 says this, when you believed, you were marked in Him, thank you, Jesus, with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, but that's when you believed. It's not about being more spiritual, getting more enough of this, praying enough, giving enough, sharing enough. No. It's about believing. Believing what? Believing that you need saving. Believing that you can't save yourself and believing that Jesus is the only one who can save you from your sin problem. That's a real problem that will separate you from God forever. But He loved you so much that He died for you and He rose again for you. And Scripture says that when all of us call upon the name of the Lord, if you call upon the name of Jesus to save you, He is faithful to do it. And when you do it, He will give you the power of His Holy Spirit. And so have you ever believed? Have you ever put your faith in Jesus? And if you haven't, then we want to give you that opportunity right now. So I'm just going to ask us to bow our heads. And if you already know Jesus, then be our prayer team and pray over this room. But if you don't know Jesus, you've never received His Spirit in your life, then I want to lead you through a prayer of faith to believe and put your faith in Him. So you can just say something like this, Father, I believe. I believe that You are God. Jesus, I believe that You are God. Just say that. And today I surrender. I'm done trying to save myself, and I'm asking You to save me. Tell Him that. I'm asking You to save me. Forgive me of my sin. I repent. I'm turning towards You. Thank You for dying for me with gratitude. Thank You. Thank You for rising again. So today, I humble myself and I receive You, Jesus, to be the King of my life. So if you prayed that, as we continue to pray, if you prayed that, then Scripture is so clear that now you will no longer perish, but you'll have everlasting life. And now, as already stated, the power of His Holy Spirit has invaded your life. So, Father, thank You for that promise. Thank You for that gift. God, help us as believers. Shake us up where we need to be shooken up. We love You. We praise You. Amen.